I owed the IRS $10,000.
The IRS garnished my wages.
They put a lien on my house.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world. They do not give up until you pay.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited. I called Tax Solutions Now, and a great big weight was lifted off my shoulders.
I called Tax Solutions Now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Tax Solutions Now had my wage garnishment lifted in 48 hours.
Tax Solutions Now can get you help. Our agents know the rules, can stop the pain, and get you the best deal. We connect you with a team of former IRS agents and tax professionals who will get the IRS off your back.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Call Tax Solutions Now. Time is running out.
Call 800-910-9962. 800-910-9962. 800-910-9962. 800-910-9962.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline, the interactive radio network program with the latest in high-tech products and services and the experts who bring them to you. This is Into Tomorrow. Here's Dave Graveline.
We certainly hope you had a happy Valentine's Day, or as Chris likes to call it, Singles Awareness Day, or SAD. Either way, that happened this week, maybe a day or two or three ago, depending on when you're listening. Or if you're listening on our free podcast, it could be 8 weeks away from then.
Or yeah, somebody asked me last week, do you have a date for Valentine's Day? I said, yes, February 14th.
Touché. Exactly. That voice, by the way, is Chris Graveline.
Hi. And your voice is Dave Graveline.
Is a Dave Graveline?
Yes.
It's not a Dave Graveline.
Sorry,
like there's
the,
many.
It's the Dave Graveline.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, and I don't have an ego. I'm humble. And in the control room is the Erasmo, by the way. And the Horatio is in New York working with the show. And the Beth is in Naples working with the show, kind of, sort of. Well, she'll be back next week. If she's good.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. But tech news and commentary in the first segment. Again, a special welcome to our new WRAD listeners out of Virginia and surrounding areas. We would like to hear from you and send you special prizes for being amongst the first listeners from our latest, newest affiliate radio station. Three stations, by the way, they make up. Two FMs and an AM. And we're glad to have you and hopefully get you to participate on the program. I'm sure you will have some sort of digital dilemma that we can solve. Or you hear something from another listener and you want to contribute. We love that as well. Or you want to just tell us what your favorite app is these days. And we'll squeeze that into the show as well. Either way, we want to get you on the show and let us send you prizes. But right now...
So, being that we just passed Valentine's Day, this is a somewhat appropriate story. As more people look for love on dating apps and social media, there's a steady spike in scammers trying to make their way into hearts as well as into wallets.
Oh, that's it's bad enough that you steal my money, but don't steal my heart.
Yes. Last year, consumers reported the most fraud losses from emotional romance scams than any other category of fraud, according to the Federal Trade Commission. The FTC said consumers...
What, a guy can't get a little drink of water and make noise with the water bottle while you're doing a tech news story?
No, it's distracting. Stop it.
Okay, I'll try not. Okay, go ahead. What were you saying?
I was saying that, get one of those high-tech bottles that doesn't make noise. The FTC said...
That's good cold water.
Can I do my job here?
Yeah, it's from the Florida Springs.
Oh.
Yeah, good water. Go ahead.
Yeah. The FTC said consumers lost $143 million in 2018 to romance scams. And it's appropriate that they say that you lost $143 million because in Beeper Talk, 143 is I love you.
You better explain Beeper Talk to millennials.
Oh, well, we used to have these things called beepers before we had cell phones that you could call.
Pagers, a.k.a.
Yeah,
pagers.
Yeah. And we had codes, a list of codes. I used to keep in my wallet a folded sheet of paper that had all the beeper codes.
You had a list of codes in
yes.
your wallet?
So anyway. So
hey, yes, but 143.
$143 million were lost to romance scams last year.
Wow.
According to the FTC, the median reported loss last year amounted to $2,600, seven times higher than other frauds. Most of that money was wired or sent with gift cards. Federal data also shows that people between the ages of 40 and 69 have the highest rates of romance scams.
Oh, my gosh. I better watch out.
Me too.
Because I'm barely 40, but...
Sure.
Do have another
you're
birthday.
Barely on the other end.
Hey! Hey! Gosh. You know, they know how to hurt me because got a birthday coming up and they're already not letting me forget it.
Well, you did get your Medicare card.
I'm officially an old fart starting March 1st. There, the word is out. Okay, fine. What are you getting me for my birthday?
A walker.
Yeah. I already have one of those from years ago after back surgery. It's over by my washing machine.
I'm going to make one high tech. I'll put like mounts on it for your phone and for
I want police lights and a siren.
There you go.
From my good old days as a cop. That'll remind me, and I can pull people over. I want a PA system as well.
I get you one of those canes with the mirror at the bottom of it.
No, that's disgusting. I don't want that. You mean like to check the undercarriage of a car?
Yes, yeah, that.
No, I don't need to do that. Thanks, anyway. Oh, attention gamers, Microsoft's 7th update of its Windows 10 platform will include an improved gaming interface and a limited-time offer of a free game called State of Decay. Speaking of me getting older, Windows insiders are being asked to test out the new update by playing the game. And last week here on Into Tomorrow, we talked about the rumors for PlayStation 5. Well, among the additional rumors swirling around the next flagship Sony video game console is the idea that the PlayStation 5 could be backwards compatible all the way back to the original PlayStation. So can you imagine being able to play original PlayStation games that you might have found in the attic or something?
As I say, if I didn't get rid of all my original PlayStation games because I didn't have an original PlayStation console anymore.
I know. And then you figure the new ones don't play them, and they didn't, and why would you keep them? Well, now you're sorry. If you buy a PlayStation 5, now they haven't confirmed that. Sony's not saying anything yet. Very typical. But it sounds like it may be backwards compatible.
In fact, I was going through some old boxes here at the studio a couple months ago, and I came across an old original PSP, the PlayStation Portable. Hmm. And I was thinking, well, this may be great to give to the six-year-old, but of course, I can't really find many games for it, at least inexpensively online.
Oh. But he would have loved the PSP.
He would have loved it.
It's brand new to him.
Yeah.
But you got to look more for games. Didn't it have, like, cartridges or something?
Yeah, it was, obviously, it's kind of like the Nintendo Switch, but a lot smaller. But
yeah.
So Russia is going to temporarily unplug from the internet as part of what the country is calling a planned experiment.
Wait, the whole day, the whole country is going to unplug? Oh, that ought to go over well.
According to a report from Russian news site RBC, the planned disconnection is intended to examine whether the country is prepared for a draft law that mandates a sovereign internet. A draft of the law required that Russian internet service providers must ensure the independence of the Russian internet space in the case of foreign aggression to disconnect the country from the rest of the internet. The legislation's goal, apparently, is to prevent any aggression from the U.S., which has listed Russia as a major source of cybersecurity attacks.
Well, it is, but they think we are going to attack them and shut down their internet?
Yeah,
so now, militarily is one thing. That's a whole different ballgame.
So apparently Russia's going to try to make sure that their internet can still function without being connected to the rest of the world.
Well, can you imagine how limited their internet would be? Does that mean we need to have a Russian website for Into Tomorrow just
maybe,
so people can still get details? That is bizarre. I guess it's kind of cool because when are they going to do this? Have they announced a date?
It just says it's upcoming.
Upcoming, great. I hope they at least inform their citizenry so people can try using a virtual private network. No, if they're going to disconnect internet, that won't work either, will it?
It'll sort of make, I guess, like an intranet that's just countrywide.
But then how would they connect to that?
I don't know.
That's really
Apparently
weird.
It's got to be on the ISP level.
You think?
Yeah.
And then, but they could dial up?
Maybe.
And somehow connect to...
Unless you've got mail.
To the U.S. and then be able
you've
to...
You've got mail.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Wow. That's interesting.
Your computer is about to crash. Place your tray and seat backs in their upright positions. Place your head between your legs and kiss your keyboard goodbye.
System Whoa. Shutting down. System shutting down.
That was me all last week with our main editing machine here.
Yeah, what's up with that?
We actually had to reformat something that I hate to tell people to do, but I exhausted all other possibilities.
Chris used the F word because he had to format.
Not only did I format,
computer.
But that was when I realized that, oh, wait, this machine has Windows 7, and it warned me when I put Windows 7 back on there that you're using an OS that is no longer supported, and so we actually had to then spend money to get Windows 10 on there.
Most illogical.
And most expensive.
But at least now it's working for the next week or so.
Yeah, but it cost us, what, $139 to get Windows 10?
Yeah.
Which is the price, but the fact is we ended up having to debate that because we didn't budget for it. But now we have a Windows 7 disk that we can use on another old machine that we don't use all that much regularly. But yeah, that machine is the main video editing machine that is really important, and we can't have an unsupported OS on it. So.
And it gets very annoying when you're trying to use a computer and every 30 seconds it just freezes on you.
Oh, yeah. It does.
I tried putting a blanket on it to warm it up, but it didn't help.
That's not even funny, because it freezes.
I think it was just feeling sorry for our listeners up in the north where it's, you know, really, really cold.
Now, that I believe. That kind of makes sense to me because, yeah, our listeners up north were having some difficulty. Yeah.
During my service in the United States Congress, I took the initiative in creating the Internet.
Thank you, Al. Perhaps he will go to Russia. Al Gore, since he, air quotes, invented the Internet. And then he'll have the Russian intranet. He can invent that for them. That'll go over pretty well. I want to know the date this is going to happen, and you better stay on this and report back to us to see how Russians deal with a full day of disconnection and see what happens.
We'll see.
All right. Well, do let us know, by all means. As if there aren't already enough smartwatches out there, Google is now reportedly building a team to design a smartwatch based on a job listing issued by the company for a vice president of hardware engineering. To expand its wearable offerings, Google may focus on creating an internal team rather than just buying up an existing smartwatch company. Which I'm sure they looked at the last couple of years and thought, well, there's a whole bunch of companies that are making smartwatches. We could just buy one of them and make it the Google Watch. But they chose not to do that. I mean, hell, they could have bought Apple because they make a watch. They could have bought LG or Samsung. But now they decided to just make their own, perhaps. Yeah. So stay tuned. We'll keep an eye on that for you to see if there's like going to be a Pixel Watch. Or some other Google name.
Well, and speaking of smartwatches, Americans are increasingly hopping on the smartwatch bandwagon. According to new data from the NPD Group, 16% of U.S. adults, about 1 in 6, now own a smartwatch, up from 12% in December of 2017. During the 12-month period ending in November, smartwatch makers raked in nearly $5 billion in sales, up 51% from the same period last year.
No wonder Google's doing it.
Yeah. Smartwatch unit sales, meanwhile, jumped 61% during the period. That growth was primarily driven by consumers aged 18 to 34. Of that age bracket, 23% of people own a smartwatch.
Now, see, that's interesting because I loaned a smartwatch to Julio. He's 20. And he wore it for like a week and said, oh, this is really cool. And it was helping him with his fitness and all sorts of stuff. And he could read his messages without having to look at the phone. And then he stopped wearing it. And he tried to blame an update. Well, I believe it because it was an LG watch, so it was probably not going to work properly to begin with. But he said ever since the update, it messed up. I said, well, do it again or reset it to factory settings. He just didn't have any desire, it seemed. He says, why do I need a watch? I have it on my phone. I went, oh, gee, a typical millennial response. But you're wearing a smartwatch. I'm wearing a smartwatch. Erasmo, you have a smartwatch? Yeah. So a lot of us are wearing smartwatches and love them.
Yeah, I wear mine on the days when I remember to grab it off the nightstand. But I've reached that age where half the days I don't remember to grab my watch.
Put it by your keys. Because you can't leave the house, I assume, without your keys if you're driving.
But then again, I'm the kind of person that I take medicine twice a day and I have a reminder on my phone twice a day. They're recurring every day to take my medicine because, you know, I need my electronics to remind me to do things like that.
Okay, now that's sad. Carolyn in
Bossier City.
Bossier?
Bossier City.
It looks more like Bossier. It's in Louisiana.
Louisiana is French, but all the names have been Americanized.
All right. Well, Carolyn in Bossier City, Louisiana, listens on News Radio 710 Keel. Hello, Carolyn.
My phone is not charging well, and I've tried another charger, but I have a Samsung, and it keeps saying use the original charger, but it is lost.
Oh.
Is there any way if you can get an original charger again for the phone?
Well, you can get the original charger from Samsung.com. They've got a section on chargers and batteries that lists their different chargers. Now, you're going to have to identify which one your phone came with, but you should be able to find a replacement there. Having said that, well, chargers are fairly generic. Now, the manufacturers don't want to say that, but they are. So there's really no reason you should need to get the same one that came with the phone.
Yeah, now, you didn't mention which phone you have, so we can't know what the specs for that charger are. But as long as your charger outputs the same voltage and amperage, and the cable you have connected to it can carry both as well, your phone shouldn't really care about the brand. An important thing to keep in mind is that the problem could be the charger, the cable, or the phone itself. Samsung has had issues before with damaged charging ports that wouldn't work at full speed.
Now, your port could also just be dirty. Oftentimes, micro USB ports will get some debris lodged in them, and just cleaning them out with a can of compressed air, for example, will make all the contacts available again to the charger, and fast charge should many times be restored. You might also use an old toothbrush, no toothpaste, but an old toothbrush, and just kind of get in there and clean it out and blow into it. And then you get some of that dirt out of there. Sometimes with ladies in particular, it might get a little buildup of makeup if you hold the phone against your face frequently or something. Just dirt in general. I mean, my case as a guy, I get dirt from my pocket lint or something I find in there. It's like, why isn't it charging? Oh, that's why. Of course, a QI charger solves that problem, too. But if it's an older phone, it may not be QI charging.
Before I put an OtterBox on my phone that had a little flap that covered the charging port, I would always got lint in there. And I would just go in with a little toothpick and just pick out the lint.
Yeah.
And it would be fine.
There you go.
Now, if you're noticing a big change in charging speed, we'd advise you first to check and clean the port and even the charging cable. Then check the voltage of the charger to make sure it's powerful enough to deliver as much power as your phone can take. And you can tell that by looking at the charger itself. It always lists the voltage and amperage that it has.
The charger she lost?
Yeah.
Yeah, look at that one. Yeah.
But the brand alone won't make a difference. Samsung doesn't make any kind of special, unique charger. They're just USB chargers.
Yeah, but they do, and they'll tell you that they do have fast chargers and standard chargers and that sort of thing. Same thing if you want to go into your nearby Target or what have you and buy a generic charger. Just as Chris said earlier, just make sure that it matches the voltage, the output, and so forth, and you should be fine with it. And if you can buy one from a store that'll give it, that'll let you take it back and get a refund if it doesn't work well for you, then go for it. You got nothing to lose there. But again, bring your phone with you. You probably have it anyway. And ask the salesperson to help you out. Is this going to work properly voltage-wise? You don't want to burn up your phone. And just make sure it does the job.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be every different phone had its own charger. But nowadays, generally, you have your iPhones with the Lightning connector, and then just about every Android phone uses the same charging cable. And even the new iPhones, the rumor is they're going to put USB-C on there, so then even Androids and iPhones will have the same chargers.
Yes, we Androids can save you iPhonies by letting you borrow our charging cable. Can't do that up until now. But new phones, that'll be the case, because Apple's getting the big picture. IntoTomorrow.com. Carolyn, we hope that we helped you out. All of our show notes are there for you, and we'll meet you there at your leisure.
Atmos FX helps people create amazing home displays for holidays and celebrations with digital decorations featuring entertaining animated characters and atmospheric scenes. Atmos FX offers a variety of beautifully animated amusement park quality decorations that can be viewed on any TV or monitor, as well as projected on windows, walls, ceilings, and props. Decorate for Halloween, Christmas, Easter, New Year's Eve, and birthdays to have the coolest house in your neighborhood. Visit atmosfx.com.
Reporting from the front lines of tech for the past 24 years, bringing you Into Tomorrow. Thank you for joining us. Erasmo's in the control room. I'm Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline. This portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you in part by HughesNet, high-speed satellite internet available wherever you live or work. Text the word radio to 35,000 for more information. Again, text the word radio to 35,000.
You know, sometimes protecting your laptop has nothing to do with viruses or malware. Well, with some tips about keeping your laptop secure, here's Ken Higgins with OWC. Ken?
Thanks, Dave. We've reviewed some of the physical risks to your laptop, but perhaps the most devastating danger won't hurt it at all, and that's theft. Laptops should be protected when left alone using a locking device, such as the Kensington lock, that will secure your laptop when you're away from your desk, or simply lock it in a drawer. Make sure to always log out and password protect your laptop to prevent unauthorized access to your data. Don't keep your login passwords on sticky notes stuck to your laptop or monitor. You can also employ tracking software to help locate your laptop in the event it is stolen or misplaced. However, never approach a potential thief without police assistance. Treat your laptop like you would your wallet. It is a valuable asset, and in the wrong hands can cost you more than the price you paid. And now, back to you, Dave.
Now, thank you, Ken. He's always got great input, and especially, again, I speak now as a former police officer, and Ken knows that. We've had a lot of discussions about those things. He's absolutely right. Don't try to recover your stolen laptop or phone or car or anything that you are able to track by yourself, because you never know what the dirtbag that took it has, you know, weapon-wise or otherwise. Get the help of your local police agency and then say, I've got a tracker. I know right where it is. If I can have an officer meet me, perhaps we can just get it back and all's well. So do that. More information, by the way, and lots more tips and hints. Oh, and special pricing and products available for our Into Tomorrow listeners when you visit owc.com/into. owc.com/into. Get you right there. And while you're online, don't forget to hit us up at intotomorrow.com, because we've always got new posts for you. Not only all of our show notes, you can subscribe to our once-a-week tech newsletter for free, and all the other goodies, again, at intotomorrow.com.
The national debt is now over $20 trillion. What's next? Rising inflation, drops in the dollar's value. Some experts say another crash is coming. What will be left of your investments for your children and grandchildren? We know you can fight this, not with stocks or bonds, but with gold and silver coins and an IRA from Augusta Precious Metals. During periods of great volatility, precious metals regularly outperform stocks because they're a true wealth asset that have real value. During the three-year recovery period after the crash of 08, the Dow only went up 3.5%, while gold more than doubled in price. Call 855-662-6533 and learn how an IRA backed by physical gold and silver can hedge against inflation and build a true legacy for your family. Regain control of your financial destiny and call Augusta Precious Metals at 855-662-6533. That's 855-662-6533. As in any investment, the price of gold and silver may fluctuate over time and you could lose money. Check with financial and legal advisors.
Nothing is as constant as change, and that certainly describes the tech world we live in. Well, we here at Into Tomorrow are here to help you with any consumer tech questions you may have. Products, services, anything available today or into tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline. Thanks for tuning in. We've been doing this now for 23 years. We'll keep doing it till we get it right. Don't worry. But the point is, we want to solve your digital dilemmas. So call us anytime, 24/7. The old-fashioned way is still the best way, and that's to pick up the phone and dial 800-899-4686. Comes out to 800-899-INTO, and we'll get you on Into Tomorrow and send you prizes for participating. It really is that easy. Our next guest joins us to talk about their portfolio of mobile social entertainment apps that are designed to meet the universal need for human connection. Might react with, aw, isn't that sweet? Well, they do a good job of it. The CEO of the Meet Group, M-E-E-T Group, is Jeff Cook. Jeff, welcome into tomorrow. How are you, sir?
I'm very good. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. When we saw the Meet Group, and it's all about this universal need that obviously, I guess we all have for human connection, we thought we've got to look into this more and maybe get you guys on the show. Tell me a little bit about the Meet Group, and then let's get into some of the things you're working on these days.
Sure. So we're a collection of mobile meeting apps. We have four primary apps, MeetMe, Tagged, Lavoo, and Scout. All in, we have about a little over 4 million people logging into our apps every day.
Cool.
All around the world. And we like to really think of ourselves as kind of the neighborhood bar, the coffee house. So it has an element of social dating. It's also kind of just a meeting space where people can chat, hang out. And what we've been focused on really for the last year and a half has been building out our live streaming video platform.
Okay, very cool. I like the bar connection. Even if you're not a bar person, you kind of get the idea of, you know, a lot of folks just like to stop after work and have a refreshing adult beverage and chat with some friends. And people kind of get that idea. Only in this case, you provide your own beer, I guess, if you're going to be chatting with some friends. But it is kind of a cool analogy, I guess, to think in terms of meeting in that sense. You guys talk about the death of catfishing. So first of all, for those listening that maybe don't know what that means, tell us what catfishing is, and then how do you end up killing it?
Well, you know, I think the pictures a person typically uses on a dating site tend to become outdated, and they might pick a picture that they had, you know, from a particularly good angle from 6 years ago, you know, and the person might be unrecognizable.
Assuming it's even them, right? I mean, there are so many people that are posting other people.
That's very fair. That's very fair. And I think, you know, video, because it's, you know, it's real time, and it's not a pre-recorded video, it's a live stream. Mm. It has a level of authenticity to it that I think people find refreshing. Like, I don't think people are expecting everyone to look like a model, but they are expecting them to be real. And I think that's what, you know, that's part of what live streaming video brings to the equation.
Yeah, we've had listeners that have told us that they've asked people to take a picture with something that shows today's date or something. And it's like, mm-hmm. you know, almost sounds like a hostage situation, you know, but I get the idea. It's like people have become so desperate to know if that's really the person I'm talking to, or does that really look like you these days? Because we all change, hopefully for the better, but let's face it, sometimes age doesn't do well for some of us, you know. And as a result, I love your concept about the whole real, authentic look of a person, because you're looking at a live video. Now, when you say it's a stream, would it only be going, say, to me if I'm trying to live video with somebody, or am I live streaming to whoever might be watching?
So currently, we have a live streaming platform that allows you to connect to a broadcast to basically anyone on the app who wants to watch. And you know, we're seeing, you know, north of 20%, so 20-25% of our users every single day kind of engaging in that. And that's been going really well. What we're actually going to be launching is a one-to-one version of the same thing. So you can be doing exactly what kind of you're talking about, but having a one-on-one chat. And that will be launching very soon.
Well, and Jeff, what seems really cool to me is that you are broadcasting, obviously something I know a little about, and the fact is that you might then have, if in this case it's a dating app, so you might be looking for people and they might be looking for you, you might get several responses, and then when you move to this one-on-one opportunity, then you have even more of a chance of saying, hey, let's actually get together and say hello, let's have a cup of coffee or something. But in the meantime,
yeah, exactly. And I think that's right. And I think that you can actually do that today in the experience. A lot of people do use it that way. Mm-hmm. So they will broadcast to a number of people, and then they will set up private chat. So they'll send a text-based chat, okay. And then they will connect and go have coffee or go out for a drink. But what the quick feature allows is for that kind of video group chat to essentially become a video one-on-one chat.
Yeah. And it is always live. Do you archive them and play them back sometimes or something? Or you're on when you're on?
You're on when you're on.
Okay.
I think there's an element of ephemerality that our audience likes. Like they it's not about kind of archiving and having it be there for forever. It's kind of more in the moment.
Good. No, I'm loving everything I'm hearing about it, because I think it will help a whole lot of people, and certainly something new and very much into tomorrow as opposed to the way things have been handled up until now. So I think what you're doing with the Meet Group is very cool. Now, for folks that might be concerned about a safety issue, you talk about broadcasting and then maybe connect with a one-on-one chat. We're not giving out our own personal phone numbers at this point or anything else. The one-on-one chat is something still through your app, right? So if it turns out you find out that, oh, wow, this guy's a loser, or that girl, forget it, you know, whatever, then you simply move on, right?
That's exactly right. We certainly encourage our broadcasters not to share personal details like home address, phone number, and things of that nature. We also have a quite a commitment to just content moderation. So, you know, being a live video platform at scale, you know, on a given day we might have many 100,000 broadcasters, 750,000 plus viewers. So you have a lot of content. We actually have a kind of small army. About 40% of our workforce is dedicated to kind of reviewing these streams. We also use kind of back end software for kind of scrubbing and making sure that we're not seeing through an algorithmic review any content that we don't want shown on our platform.
Good, good. Now, when you talk about broadcasting, Jeff, is it a regional thing, a citywide? I mean, can you put out some sort of a target geographically that you want to broadcast to, or does it go to anybody and everybody on the planet that is looking at the app?
It goes to anybody on the planet, essentially, who wants to tune in.
Okay.
But we do have different ways of organizing the content. So you can a typical way that people will do it is by nearby. So I might be able to watch your stream even if I'm not, you know, in New York City or in Chicago. Mm-hmm. But you know, I might have a lot more people from Chicago in my stream because I happen to be broadcasting from Chicago, for example.
Gotcha.
So we also split streams by trending. So the most popular streamers are going to be, you know, in the trending stream, and they will have at any given time, you know, hundreds, sometimes thousands of viewers.
Wow, cool. And do you know how many folks are viewing you at the time?
You do. So that's actually everyone in the stream knows. There's a view count.
Good. I mean, again, that's kind of cool, too. You know, I'm here in Miami, and maybe I want to stream, can I identify myself at that point, or do I have to say that I'm in Miami? So if you are in Chicago and not willing to relocate, if we should happen to connect, then, you know, have a nice day. But, you know, it's not going to help either of us, or that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, you can certainly say you're in Miami, but I think a lot of the streams are not just about finding, you know, a spouse or a significant other. A lot of them are kind of more entertainment driven. So what we noticed in our app is that, you know, for a long time, this app has been around since really 2005 in website form, and as an app since 2010. We were having tens of millions of chats, text-based chats sent every single day among our users. And, you know, what we saw was that there'll be lulls in the conversation where a user might not have enough chats, and that's frequent for any dating platform.
Mm-hmm.
And so we saw live video as basically a way to put to bring some social entertainment into dating. So right now, and for a long time, you think of Match.com, ZHarmony's, Tinder's, you know, they're all about finding you either a date or a spouse and kind of getting you off the platform.
Yeah.
We thought, well, let's combine dating with some social entertainment. So if you're not finding enough chats at any given moment, you have something else to do. And we find it fits in really well there. And, you know, extending that bar analogy where, you know, we compare ourselves to the local bar coffee house, you know, we think of live streaming as almost like the band at the bar. It's, you know, something else that kind of keeps you there longer. May not be the only reason you're there.
Yeah, no, and I like that. I'm glad that you pointed that out. So it's not a matter. It is about the human connection, but it doesn't have to necessarily become a significant other search or something. I'm assuming it can be, certainly, if someone is looking for that. That's wonderful. And a chat, you know, can become more involved. I'm also kind of envisioning that, you know, maybe there's the occasional stand-up comedian who wants to do a live stream and share his or her humor with whoever's looking, and maybe that's another connection. It's another way to kind of get that human connection going and see if they get any response. I mean, I don't know if it's like an audition almost.
Exactly, it's really interesting you said that. So we certainly see that sort of talent content where you'll have somebody who might know how to sing, and you know, they'll be singing for some period of time, or somebody who plays the guitar. Sometimes you see a juggler or a dancer. And so we actually have a product that's more towards the end of this year launching that we're calling Battles, that will allow somebody with a talent to compete against somebody else with a talent and for the audience to vote.
Oh, cool.
We're absolutely trying to cultivate that sort of talent-based content.
I love it. Now, will it work on only mobile devices, or can you put it on your computer? I'm trying to envision somebody who's dancing who might have a better shot on a laptop and room in the room to get up and say, let me show you what I just learned or something, you know.
Yeah, I mean, our broadcasters who are good, and some of these broadcasters, you know, they're making $10,000 a month, you know. And
whoa.
And so some of these broadcasters are quite talented. And what they're doing, they've kind of these professional rigs, so they can broadcast off a phone. We are looking right now at web-based broadcasting too. We have so few users on the web that, you know, we started mobile, but I think we are starting to think hard about should we have a platform on the web as well.
Sure. I think it would be awesome. Now, real quick, as we're fast running out of time, and I can already tell I want to get you back on the show again, Sue, to talk more about it. But, of course, in the meantime, themeatgroup.com, and we'll get you there when you hit us up at intotomorrow.com. Are there charges involved? And you talk about people that are making 10 grand a month by doing these,
these
broadcasts.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's free to use. It's free to broadcast. The way that the broadcaster actually earns money is through tips from viewers. And it, no viewer, of course, have to tip, but people are sending these virtual gifts that translate out to some value that they can then claim a reward, like a PayPal gift card and things like
cool.
that.
Oh, cool. Excellent. So there are virtual gifts. There are an opportunity, of course, the future of dating. If you're looking at dating into tomorrow, this is a good way to do it. Visit The Meet Group, M-E-E-T, themeetgroup.com. And again, we'll get you there when you hit us up at intotomorrow.com. Jeff Cook, the CEO, keep up the good work. Let us know as you do new and fun and innovative things, and we're happy to help promote it for you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
What if people with type 1 diabetes had the power to manage their condition without finger sticks? To always know their glucose levels and where they're heading with just a glance at their smart device? To customize alerts and alarms to help keep them in range? All this knowledge powered by a small wearable. Introducing the Dexcom G6. Make knowledge your superpower. For a list of compatible smart devices, visit dexcom.com/compatibility. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G6 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions.
While you're trying to find that perfect selfie angle, keep listening into tomorrow. And we are here to help, by the way, if we can answer any question for you about consumer tech, anything for that matter, involving the world of technology, we'd like to do that for you. You can call day or night, anytime at your leisure. And the number is?
1-800-899-4686. That's 800-899-INTO.
When you call in and participate, you win some fabulous prizes, by the way. And while there's no guarantee, no promises, do tell us what you would like to receive from perhaps some of the items we're about to tell you. And we'll do our best to get one of those to you if you call in and participate before they're all gone. For example,
from AEE Drones and Cams, you've got a Mach 1 drone.
Oh, a lot of people want the drones, so maybe you can win one of those when you call in. From Chalk and Social, chalkboard hat bundles that promote more FaceTime and less screen time. I know it kind of goes against what we promote in terms of tech, but part of our job in promoting tech is to help you get away from it sometimes. Well, that's what Chalk and Social can do.
Well, I've always said tech is like chocolate. A little bit can make you feel really good, but too much leaves you feeling icky.
All right. Yeah. You've always said that? I don't think I've ever heard that in 24 years on the
From air. MonoPrice, we've got some MP Select Mini 3D printers.
Oh, yeah, very cool. Tableau with their Tableau Dual. These are whole home, over-the-air DVRs for you cord cutters or certainly wannabe cord cutters. Get rid of that cable.
From Backtrack, we've got some C6 keychain breathalyzers to help you easily estimate your alcohol level.
And they're fun at parties, too, if nothing else. Just don't. If in doubt, don't drive. That's the best way to deal with it. But these will tell you for sure, don't drive.
Yeah, they'll tell you if you can drive home or if you should call an Uber or Lyft.
Yeah, or just have a friend take you. Yeah. But make sure they do it first as well, if they're at the same party. So how do you participate? How do you win those prizes?
by calling in and getting your call on the air. You can call us at 800-899-4686. It's 800-899-INTO.
By the way, when you visit us at intotomorrow.com, hopefully a little box pops up. And when it does, we ask you to put in your email address only, which we don't share with anyone. We keep it private all these years. We're not going to start releasing your emails now, I promise you. And then you will get our free once-a-week tech newsletter. Among other things, Beth's tech tip, along with tech news and who's on the show this week, some thoughts to make you smile, even some little teases about what's coming up in terms of some of our listeners this week with their questions. What's her tech tip this week?
February is American Heart Month, and she says by using your tech, you can get all of the helpful tools and information that you need to help to stay heart healthy.
Ah, and there are so many things you can do on the social networking site Facebook that you probably don't even know about. We've got 24 hidden Facebook features only for power users. Check them out on this week's tech newsletter. Sign up at intotomorrow.com.
Think you're stuck with slow internet because of where you live? Think again. Do what we did and order HughesNet, America's number one choice for satellite internet. HughesNet delivers the speed you need with the data you want and is available where you live. Own a business? HughesNet has plans for you, too. Text RADIO to 35,000 for offers in your area. That's RADIO to 35,000. HughesNet, high-speed internet available where you live or work.
Making your life, hopefully, more convenient with technology. We cover the latest in consumer tech here on Into Tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline. This portion of Into Tomorrow brought to you by Dexcom. Accurate glucose readings for people with diabetes. Visit Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Doug in Stevensville, Michigan, listens to the free Into Tomorrow podcast. You can sign up for those as well. Not miss a minute of our three-hour show every week, again at Intotomorrow.com. Hey, Doug.
I was wondering if you know of an app that tells me where the cell phone towers are and perhaps what the signal strength of the cell phone towers are.
Ooh, well, that would be cool. But, Doug, there really aren't many. And I didn't say there aren't any, but that's not much of a market for that kind of thing among general consumers, so they're just not that random and available pretty much. But OpenSignal may be your best bet. They do provide some detailed coverage maps by network sourced from users who run the app and share the information with everyone else. It will show you areas where your coverage will be strong and weak and give you some details that you probably would appreciate.
Yeah, now, Root Metrics also offers apps that will show you real-world coverage information that could help you pinpoint towers. The website cellmapper.net, it's not an app, but it may be the closest option to fitting your needs. It'll map towers by network and give at least some detail about the tower's frequencies.
And you may be able to find more detail about the towers online in terms of power and frequencies, but not a lot of people are after those kind of things. Most of them want to know how many bars their phone's showing, and that's about it. So you won't have a lot of consumer-oriented apps and sources for that, but I hope, Doug, that this will help you somewhat to get some of the information. Stay tuned. If others have additional input, we'd love to hear from you at 800-899-INTO, and we will share that with the rest of our audience. All 3 hours for you at intotomorrow.com.